Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Can I be honest with you? I've never liked this story of Mary and Martha, and I thought I had almost escaped from preaching on it, but here we are. I'm forced to tackle it. But the truth is, I've always identified with Martha. Work until the job gets done, to the best of my ability. Be responsible, be dependable. I'm sure this had to do with my upbringing. Busy and productive is good. Loafing or being lazy or looking that way is not good. But fortunately, I had plenty of time this summer on my family's annual trip to Cape Cod to reflect on this passage. And one of the devotionals I read was written by novelist Sue Monk Kidd. She tells of something a woman once said to her that struck her as odd. And here she says, "Recently on the eve of my birthday, a woman said to me with a completely serious face, 'When I turn 50, I want to become notorious.' Notorious for what?" I asked. This seemed to throw her. "Well, I'm not sure," she said. "I haven't gotten that far along with the idea." Becoming notorious for the sake of becoming notorious was a peculiar idea to me. Besides that, had she consulted the dictionary for the meaning of notorious? Well, I went home and looked it up. It said, "Notorious. Widely but infamously or unfavorably known or talked about." I couldn't see the appeal. But after my conversation with the woman, practically against my will, I began to entertain a thought. What would I want to be notorious for at 50? Well, later we'll hear how Kidd answers that question for herself. But first, back to the two women who once became notorious, Mary and Martha. Much of the time, this story is spun to make Martha the bad guy and Mary the good guy. It is presented that Mary loved Jesus and Martha loved the kitchen and getting things done. But as I look more deeply into this story, I realize that Jesus didn't fault Martha for being responsible. Martha's fault is that she was too busy to listen, too distracted to quietly hear what Jesus had to say, too involved with all her activities and actions that she didn't find time to first listen to the voice of Christ. And so Jesus taught in an unforgettable way that listening precedes action, that we listen first and then do or act. Mary first, Martha second. It's always in that order. Listening first and action second. Listening and then doing. Jesus clearly said, be hearers and doers of the word in that order. Martha has become a symbol of the modern world. More than that, Martha has become a symbol of you and me, who have become so active and busy with living life, we no longer have the time to slowly, quietly listening to God, or even our spouse, kids, friends. Mary, on the other hand, sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what Jesus had to say. She was relaxed, renewed, refreshed, and refocused. Her time with Jesus gave her a center and direction to life. But in doing so, she broke all the rules. Being a disciple and learning from the teacher was considered man's work. She flagrantly crossed the lines of gender, social custom, and propriety. She did the unexpected. She became notorious, perhaps in every sense of that word. Theologian Paul Tillich has used the term a holy waste, a waste growing out of the abundance of the heart. Tillich said that Jesus and the early church regarded it as beautiful because they knew that without the abundance of the heart, nothing great can happen. Holy waste is the way of self-giving love that does not count the cost and does not put pragmatism above the beauty and wonder of love. It is the way of Jesus, the way of the cross. I reflected on this often during my daily walks on Cape Cod, and one way to think about all this is to think about God as the creator of this beautiful world. God's creation is filled with extravagance of God's creative grace. Day by day, there are gorgeous sunrises and spectacular sunsets, whether we see them or not. Beautiful and colorful hydrangeas everywhere, the beauty of the sea, the fish and the whales, this magnificent universe of stars and galaxies, the complex, intricate beauty of the microscopic world. God's world is filled with holy waste. God wastes beauty on us every day, whether we see it or not. But is it really a waste? No, God seems to enjoy beauty for beauty's sake. The least we can do is try to be aware, to see, and to enjoy God's creation. That leads us back to Sue Monk Kidd, who found herself pondering that odd question, what would I want to be notorious for at 50? Well, sometime later, gathered with a group of her friends, Kidd read aloud a poem by poet Mary Oliver, a poem in which Oliver writes about coming to the end of life and wanting to be able to say that she had spent her life married to amazement. The words of the poem are these: "When it's over, when death comes, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was a bridegroom taking the world into my arms." When she read those words, Kidd says, "Suddenly something unexpected happened to me. My throat tightened, my eyes filled. I don't mean sad tears, but the kind that leak from something brimming. I looked at the faces around the room. They seemed beautiful and shining to me. I glanced at the common white lily in a vase, and honestly, the sight nearly wiped me out. It was impertinently gorgeous. I couldn't think what to name the feeling except amazement at life. It was as if something fell from my eyes, and I saw everything just as it is. Somehow, I'd begun moving through life on autopilot, half seen, half here, abducted by the dreaded small stuff. But that evening," she says, "I resolved the question about what I wish to become notorious for at 50. Let it be nothing more than harboring a wild amazement at life. Let me become notorious," Kidd says, "for having a deep awareness and a wild amazement at this life God has given each of us and this world in which God has placed us. Let us be notorious for being aware of and amazed at God's abundant gifts of grace in our lives." And God gives us outward and visible symbols of those promises. The table set before us, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, is one of those symbols. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, God speaks words of promise to each of us. "I love you. Your sins are forgiven. I am present with you." And what do? We simply eat. And in eating, we simply receive and accept the promises of God. We trust in the one who loves us. And as Pastor Lowe said a couple weeks ago, our identity is not in our ethnicity or race, not in our accomplishments or our setbacks, not in our political affiliation and beliefs. Rather, we tell a story that roots our identity in God's promise to see us, to regard us, to always treat us as God's own beloved children. So come to the table. All are welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen.